Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. 6.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening. And coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be joined shortly by former Fun Harps player Joe Boyle to look ahead to Fun Harps' clash with Waterford in the League of Ireland First Division. Later, there's reaction from the Donegal, Derry and Tyrone camps after yesterday's quarter-finals of the Ulster Under-20 Football Championship. Brett McGinty fights alongside Jason Quigley on the Elite Shear, the return promotion on Saturday night. We'll hear from the St. Johnstone super welterweight ahead of his 7th professional bout. And Letterkenny Rugby Club head coach Paul O'Kane will also be joining us to look ahead to the Garden West Cup semi-final, which is taking place on Saturday afternoon against Cavan. But we're going to start with some athletics, and Catherine McDevitt earlier today qualified for the 200-metre semi-finals at the World Athletic Championships in Poland. She ran 27.31 in Heat 4 in the over-40s category to make the top 12 and qualify for the semi-finals tomorrow. Fellow Donegal athlete Sinead McConnell, who won bronze in the 3K walk on Wednesday, is also back in action tomorrow, Friday, and she will compete in the 10K walk. And we can't forget about Kay Byrne, of course, who had that phenomenal run earlier in the week on Monday, winning gold at the championships in Turin, Poland. She was competing in the W60 category, and she won the 8-kilometre cross-country race in a superb time of 36 minutes and 46 seconds. And she also, of course, led Ireland out to team gold as well. But there's hopefully more to come tomorrow from the ladies from the Northwest involved with that Ireland team at the World Masters Championships in Poland. So on to football. Fun Harps make the trip to Waterford tomorrow evening and Friday, looking to extend their unbeaten run to 5 games in the League of Ireland First Division. Harps may have just 1 win in 6 matches, but another solid showing at the RSC will be a further boost to the side that are looking to progress on game by game. The tie, however, could prove to be a sticky one, with Waterford installing Keith Long as manager this week. Former Harps player Joe Boyle feels Waterford could get a bounce under the new boss, but added Harps can still get something on the road.
Didn't want to happen was that the match was postponed last week when they were due to play Treaty, and then the upheaval of losing their manager in the last couple of days. But, you know, Keith Long coming in is a great appointment for Waterford. You know, a man that has done great work at Bohemians, and I felt really unfortunate for him that he lost his job at Bohemians. And I know Declan Devine has come in and done a good job, but, you know, they've got a quality manager, and he'll have them well organised and have them in place for Friday night. But again, I think Hearts going into that match have got to be really positive. You know, the last couple of matches they've played, you see a real progression in the team and how they're looking to play and what they're looking to do. And, you know, at halftime last Friday night, everybody was hopeful of another one, you know, back-to-back ones. But unfortunately, that didn't happen, and Cove came strong in the second half. But, you know, going to Waterford this week, I think Dave Rogers and the players will certainly be going down there full of energy and enthusiasm.
Yeah. Do you enjoy watching Harps and the type of football that they're playing at the minute, or the type of football that they're trying to impose on the pitch, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's progress. You know, the first match or two, it was difficult for them. You know, that first night against Galway, everything was against them. The weather was against them. The pitch wasn't, you know, the most conducive to playing. But, you know, over the last couple of weeks, you can certainly see a progression in how they're looking to play and what they're looking to do. Are they the finished article? No, but I do think if they can stay in contention, particularly in these round of matches, and when you look at over the next 4 matches, it's really important that if you could get something down Waterford, that'd be a huge one. Then you've got the trip to Kerry, and, you know, I think that'll be a match they'll be targeting, looking to get 3 points there. And then they're home to Treaty and then away to Wexford. So he'll be looking to keep that run in place, and Dave will be certainly looking to target a few, maybe a 1 or 2 in there, maybe a draw in there as well to try and boost up the points target. But if they can stay within touch and reach, you know, they win on Friday night, then they go ahead of Waterford. But if Waterford win on Friday night, you know, they can go third. So it's all very, very tight from Bray down to Finn Harps there. There's not much between any of those teams. And remember, I think Harps' target this season will certainly be looking to get into the playoffs, trying to get into that top five there that they can secure that playoff position. Because you would think now with Keith Long going into Waterford that they'll look to push on and try and put a bit of pressure in Galway. Galway have stolen the march and everybody. So, you know, it's important for Harps to hang in there and stay in that contention over the next couple of weeks while Dave builds on what he's doing over the last couple of weeks, and he'll be looking to build on that over the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah. Obviously, Dave Rogers on the managerial front from a Donegal point of view was unknown when it came in, and there's a large group of players coming on very much unknown as well. But what you've seen since the start of the season and the six games that they've played, sort of players that have stood out for you, Joe?
Yeah, look, I think I would have known him from his younger days. Noah Baba was certainly, he's impressed me in the bits I've seen of him since he's come back into Finn Park. You know, I like the two young lads that come in from Derry, Dahi McCallion. You know, he missed last week. He was away with the Northern Ireland under 19s. He's been impressive. And so has Keevan Porter, has been impressive in there as well. So, you know, there's signs there, and there is a lot of positivity there around Finn Park, and, you know, that more often they can do that. And I think probably for me, somebody who has certainly stepped up this year and has been a huge influence for me on the team has been Ryan Rainey, not just in his general play, but, you know, he's been composed and he's pushed away three goals already. I know some of them are for penalties, but they all count and they've been big, big performances. So, you know, a lot of players in their own way have stepped up. And I think De Silva last week as well in the match, you know, he got into team of the week this week, certainly had made a positive impact. I thought maybe in the first game or two, he was a little bit off it, but certainly on Friday night against Cove, he was a handful. And, you know, somebody who gave us a real focal point in the attack that provided an opportunity for Finn Harps to get further up the pitch and allow their midfielders to get up and support the attack. He was certainly very, very influential.
Yeah. And Baba, of course, is a former Waterford player. But down through the years, Harp's record hasn't been too bad, so it hasn't showed down in Waterford, down at the RSC.
No, there's been lots of positive nights down there. The other thing is the pitch in Waterford is generally quite good. I know it's opened at both ends and that, with the stands on either side. But, you know, I don't think that's a place Finn Harp should fear going there. The pitch would be in good nick. And again, Waterford, although Keith has come in this week, you know, the most he's going to have with him is one or two training sessions. And I know sometimes you get a bounce of a new manager going in, but I do think Dave will be in a position to put them under pressure. And if Harps can stay in the game early on and, you know, maybe sow a little bit of doubt in that team, and then the fact that they didn't play last week against Treaty as well, you know, I do think there's a great opportunity there for Finn Harps to go down and get at least a point, if not the 3 points.
More pressure on the home side in saying that they're probably underperforming this year, given that they were tipped as one of the favourites for the first division title and promotion, Joe.
Yeah, look, when you look at the manager that's just been sacked, when you look at it, he's one loss in five matches, two wins and two draws. But that's where Waterford see themselves. They see themselves up there with Galway and looking to get that automatic promotion. They've been in the mix in the last two or three seasons about trying to get into that Premier Division or stay in that Premier Division. So the people in Waterford, and again, John Walters has come in there as like a technical director or football operations manager. So, you know, they have invested heavily in the club and they'll be expecting big things and looking for positive results. So, you know, Keith Long going in there will be under no illusions that, you know, wins is the only thing on the agenda for Waterford. So Hearts should look to try and use that maybe as an opportunity to apply more pressure on the Waterford players in this match.
Yeah, just finally then, there's a good support of Hearts expected to make the long trip down along with the team and follow the Blues from Balbuffet. Would they be happy? Would the team be happy? Would you be happy, Joe, with a point coming back up the road? Would that be seen as a good point?
It would be a good point, but I don't think any manager, any player goes into the match looking for that. I think the Harps, and, you know, even last week when they were coming off against Cove, they were bitterly disappointed with a point. You know, at half time, we would have been certainly looking for the three. And I think this week going down to Waterford, that Dave and his players will certainly be looking for all 3 points. Coming back up the road, you might be happy with a point, but, you know, in the way that the Finn Harps have been progressing over the last couple of weeks, and particularly with the support, I think the support at home has been really fantastic this season. You know, the fans have really got behind them. There's been coming out in big numbers, and they've been very, very vocal as well, and they're encouraging the players along, and I think they're getting a good balance there between the players looking for that support and the supporters giving the players that support as well. I know I do see a positive season ahead for Finn Harps, and hopefully they'll get back into those playoffs and have an opportunity to get back into the Premier Division.
There you go, that's Joe Boyle, former Finn Harps player, looking ahead to the clash with Waterford tomorrow night. Starts at 7:45, and we'll have updates from the RSC tomorrow evening with Adrian Flanagan from that game here on Highland. Now, Derry City midfielder Jordan McAnuff was today named the SSER Trustee Soccer Writers Ireland Player of the Month for February. That means a Derry City player has won the Player of the Month award in back-to-back months following Cameron McJanet's win last November. McAnuff joined Derry from Arsenal in August 2022, having spent the first half of the season on loan with Shelburne, who Derry face on Friday in the Premier Division. Jordan says he's playing with confidence at the moment.
Last season, towards the end, the team were doing well and I didn't play much, but I got a full pre-season under my belt and I felt fit going into the season, so it's good to start the first few games and get a few goals, and there's the word of good for your confidence, so hopefully it continues.
That's Jordan McAnuff, who was named Player of the Month earlier today. Locally, just some of the standout fixtures this weekend in the North West. The Premier Division action in the Donegal Junior League starts on Friday night with Kilmacrenan and Celtic, the joint leaders, going to Kildrum Tigers. Kickoff is at 7:30. Kilmacrenan currently share top spot with Fannagh United. Both teams have 33 points, with Kilmacrenan having played a game more. Fannagh are back in action on Sunday. They are away to Capri Rovers. Lagan Harps can win the Division 2 title on Sunday with victory at Gweedore United. While in another of the divisions, actually Division 1, Swilly Rovers are playing Milford United on Sunday. This, of course, will be an intense fixture. Big derby, as always. Swilly need a draw or a win to go unbeaten in the season. They are, of course, champions, already promoted. As for Milford, they need a win to gain automatic promotion to the Premier Division and avoid the playoffs. While in any show, there's a couple of big cup semi-finals on this weekend. In the League Cup, it's Buncrana Hearts against Clonmany Shamrocks, and Glengad United play Greencastle. And in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, Quiggy's Point Swifts are playing Alia. Greencastle Youths are taking on Dunry United. And we can't forget about the Donegal League Under-13s, who are in action on Saturday in the Boys Inter-League Cup quarter-final. They're taking on North Dublin Schoolboys League at Ballyar on Saturday. Kickoff time is 4 o'clock, and the young men from Donegal hoping to progress through to what will be an All-Ireland semi-final. So, time for another quick commercial break. We'll have more on the score on the boxing front after these.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. We go to boxing. It's a big weekend for Donegal fighters, with Jason Quigley making his return to home soil with his first professional fight in Ireland on Saturday evening on the Elite Shear promotion The Return at the National Stadium in Dublin. Weigh-in takes place tomorrow, Friday. St Johnstone man Brett McGinty is also on the card, looking to go 7 unbeaten. He is fighting Patrick Falaya, who has 5 wins, 3 losses and 2 draws on his record. Brett, of course, has already won at the National Stadium in the pro ranks, and that was in November of last year. I've been speaking with Brett this week ahead of his latest outing. Big fight coming up, Brett. Another on Irish soil. You're part of the Elite Shear promotion, The Return, which is taking place at the National Stadium in Dublin. Before we look at that and talk about your opponent, you, of course, are no stranger to that venue. You fought there numerous times as an amateur, had some big nights, but on the professional stage, you were there back in November, and it was something that you'll remember for the rest of your life, your first pro fight at home, Brett, and you had the big support down with you, and you got the victory as well.
Brilliant, Oisin. As you said, I'd been in the National Stadium many times, fighting in the amateurs over 3 rounds, but it was great to have my first in the pros. It was a different experience coming out for a 6-rounder, but I've that over me now, you know what I mean? I've that, I suppose, that the wee bit of nerves of your first fight at home, and so it's kind of down to business now next week, and looking forward to another good fight and hopefully another good performance.
Yeah. Were you really nervous for the occasion, were you, back then?
I was nervous about, because I'd over 200 coming down to Westmead, I suppose I'm kind of nervous of putting on a decent show, and I was lucky that the opponent that I fought came for a proper fight, to be fair to him. Though, he was an Italian we knew very little about. There was no footage of him at all. Literally didn't even know if he was Southpaw Orthodox until I got in the ring with him. So I was sort of a bit of an unknown. So there was a bit of nerves there. But nah, thankfully he came for a fight, hey, and we put on a proper fight. And I think those that came down to watch it enjoyed it.
Yeah. Do you get nervous ahead of every fight, Brett? Because they say in sport that nerves is actually a good thing. Yes, you do have confidence, but it's always an added bonus with a wee bit of nerves in there in the belly. Do you get that?
You have a bit of nerves, definitely. More so like on fight day, like when you're sitting around the hotel and waiting to go to the venue and that, you'll be a wee bit nervous or whatever. But once you start warming up and start getting in the zone, I suppose that kind of goes away then. And especially when the bell goes, it all goes out the window. But there's nothing wrong with a wee bit of nerves. It keeps you sharp and it keeps you ready to go.
Yeah. So tell us, how did this bout come about for you? How did this fight come about on the Elite Shear promotion? Obviously, you're signed up with Shear Sports, who you are, and you're based in England, despite them, of course, being in the far coast of America. But at what stage did you know that you're going to be part of this return promotion, this return bill?
I've been talking to Jason fairly regularly, and they were looking at around March time at the start they were on the show, but it was pushed back to the 1st of April, which, to be honest, probably worked out in my favour because I had a wee bit of trouble with my left hand after the last fight, but thankfully all good now, and I've had no trouble waiting in the camp. But I think this is going to be the first of hopefully many shows to come from Elite and Shear Sports, and hopefully shows in Ireland as well. You never know, we might get one down the northwest direction if we're lucky. That would be great. But now, hopefully this is the start of things to come, and they'll be running shows more regularly and in Ireland as well.
Yeah, so it was easy enough to say yes to Jason Quigley, was it?
Definitely, especially when he's on the ball too. It's good. It's good for boxing in Ireland. It's good for Irish boxing. And it's good for people in the Northwest too. Get the chance.
For Donegal people in particular.
Exactly. So, you know, the first chance to see him at home. He's fought for a world title and he's been at the pinnacle of sport. And now's their chance to see him fighting Dublin again. He's plenty of successful nights himself in the National Stadium. So, hopefully, the two of us will have another one now next Saturday.
Yeah. Would you take advice from Jason? Would you, Brett?
I would. You know, Jason's he's been around the block now, and pro boxing and boxing in general. He would give me a lot of advice. And we actually we done a bit of sparring for this camp together before I came over to England. Me and him sparred twice, and then one of the weekends I was home, we got a few rounds in as well. So it's good to have his experience helping me along, and we can help each other out with a bit of sparring. Definitely. Now it's good to have. It's good to have his advice there, and you know, it's good to be able to share the ring with him.
Yeah. You mentioned about the hand that you had a wee issue after the last fight. Does wee niggles worry you, do they, Brett? Because when you pick up wee injuries, obviously it's going to play in the head at times. And when they appear and when they occur, do they worry you, do they?
Well, to be fair, like, it's one thing about boxing, there's always niggles here and there throughout camp. This camp, even of our own team, but that one I actually took into the fight the last time. I missed my last spar because of it. So I just kind of had a feeling that it probably would hinder me a wee bit, you know, when it did later on in the fight. But it was nothing to worry about. And I haven't had no trouble with it since in this camp. So all's good, ready to go for next week, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your opponent here. Patrick Fiala, if I've said that correct. What do you know of him?
Not a lot, to be fair, at the minute, because the thing about, we always say over here, me, Ricky and Blaine, like, we don't want to look too far into the opponents and go watching tapes, because you can watch 10 tapes and you can go into the gym the next morning and be told your opponent's changed, especially if you're fighting foreigners, like, he's from the Czech Republic. So looking at his record, he's a fairly decent record, to be honest. That's the kind of fights I want now. I want, you know, step up opponents. He's 5 wins, 3 KOs and 3 losses. So he's a winning record. I'm sure he'll come to fight, and that's what I want. We'll have good, if things stay the same, which it's looking that they very likely will, that it'll be him I'm fighting next Saturday. We'll have a good look at him now next week, see what he does well, see what he doesn't do so well, and make a game plan from that, and we'll be ready to rock.
And in relation to your own performance, obviously you said you're focusing a lot more on that. So you are, Brett, each fight you're looking for improvement in certain areas. What sort of improvement are you looking for now as you head into this one off the back of what took place over the last few?
What I would like to do is just take what I've been doing in camp. Ricky told me the day that it's the sharpest he's seen me, and I do feel that. Like, I've had a lot of 8-round spars in this camp as well. The last three spars I've had have been 8-round spars, so I'm getting the rounds in, and I'm getting them in well. I'm feeling strong doing them, so I want to take that into the fight. I mean, it's all well and good, looking good in the gym and sparring well, but at the end of the day, you have to do it on fight night. You have to do it under the lights, and that's what I think I'll do. I'm looking forward to it. There's no reason why I can't, so that's up to me now to do that next week.
Yeah. Listen, Johnston Carrigan's going to be empty on Saturday week, are they? They all heading to Dublin again, are they?
Well, there'll be a right few of them down anyway. Hopefully, making plenty of noise. So.
Yeah. And with all the Bal Buffet people. Is that some mix, eh?
hopefully, they'll all stick together, and anyway. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and listen, it'll be a brilliant night, so it would for both yourself and Jason to tick off ones on that occasion. But maybe looking further afield, Brett. Come the end of the year, where would you like to be? Would you be like to fighting for some sort of title, for some sort of belt? And how many fights is it going to take you maybe to get to that stage?
To be honest, I've just mentioned that the one of the calls we had there, that at my weight, super welterweight, that the Celtic title has been vacated by the champion, Owen O'Neill. He's from Belfast. He's vacated the title. So, I mean, I would have fought him for it, but he's vacated it. So it's open now for pretty much for anybody that wants a crack at it, and that the BUA consider good enough. So, like, I would fight for that next, to be honest. I've been pro quite a while now, to be honest, and it's been stop-start for me, starting to get a bit of momentum. I mean, I'm happy. It'll be an 8-rounder because the Celtic title's on a 8-rounder. I'll be happy enough to push for that next. If they said they wanted me to fight again and then go for it, fair enough, but I mean, that's the kind of fights I want to be in. Domestic title fights over the last year or so in Ireland have been a complete success. You know, two Irish fighters coming to win, coming to put on a good show. And, like, I'm not shouting out no names or whatever, but, I mean, I'm sure there's somebody else in the country in a similar position to me that would say, you know what, I would like a crack at that, and, you know, I'd fight in them, to be honest.
Yeah, well, before that is to happen, or if there's going to be developments on that front, you have to get through the next opponent on Saturday week in Dublin. So things are looking good and confident, Brett, as we go to it?
Confident, Oisín, and everything's went well. As I say, my camp's been brilliant, so no reason why I can't go on next week and put on a performance, and, you know, that's what I'm planning to do.
There you go, Brett McGinty. He's off to Dublin for the event at the National Stadium. Big weekend ahead for himself and, of course, Jason Quigley. We wish both fighters all the best this weekend. Weigh-in, of course, is tomorrow afternoon in Dublin. Time for another break on The Score. We'll be talking Ulster Under 20 Football Championship up next after these.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. We go to Gaelic Games. We now know the lineup for the semi-finals of the Ulster Under 20 Football Championship. On Wednesday, the 12th of April, Donegal will take on Derry, and Down, who dethroned the Ulster and All-Ireland champions Tyrone, are set to take on Monaghan. The venues and times for those games still have to be confirmed. We'll be hearing from the Derry camp and the Tyrone camp shortly, but there was high drama first of all in Bal Buffet, as Donegal needed penalties to see off Antrim and progress. They had to come from 2 points down at the end of the game to force extra time, and then come from 3 down to force penalties. David Boyle top scored for Donegal with 7, while Sean Ward hit 3. Aaron Cullen was the hero in penalties, as his save was crucial for the victory. Donegal scored all 5 spot kicks through Blake McGarvey, Daniel Gilday and Daniel Marley, along with Ward and Boyle. Donegal manager Liam McLoone told Brendan Devaney afterwards that they escaped not playing to their full potential.
It was a nail-biting affair, as they say. You know, we didn't by no means play well. We played well in spells, but, you know, for the full duration of the game, we didn't play to our potential, I feel. But what we did give was 100% the whole time. The lads really dug in, and when it mattered, you know, a lot of men stood up to the plate, and just really proud of them as a group of players, you know, for it was really, I think they done Donegal proud today.
Yeah, a very strange first half. It didn't seem like championship. You kept the boys in a wee while at half time, giving them a bit of rally cry. It was interesting, it was three yellow cards at the start of the second half. The game certainly caught a bit of spice in that second half, but I felt that Antrim were sucking us into a bit of counter attack. Mm. That they were sitting on us, and the likes of McGarvey and O'Neill and Caulfield, any of the Ward, these fellas, that they weren't able to get their pace in the round the back because they were sitting deep and counter-attacking. Now, it was a dangerous game. They were inviting us on them, but on the break then they were dangerous. And of course McCullen up front, massive handful, you know, I think he had 8 or 9 points tonight, 5 from play. He kind of kept them in touch all the time. So it was that we were getting sucked in. They knew all about counter-attack and defence, but they were doing that to us in the second half, but we still stayed with them enough to take it out of time.
Yeah, definitely. They had a great game plan, if you like, and I think they looked very dangerous from their kickouts. You know, we pressed up in their kickout, and I think they caught us several times over the top, you know. And listen, they were a big, strong team, well drilled, and you know, it was just tough going. You know, the soft ground, the boys. We have a lot of young players out there. A lot of lads that were minors last year, you know, and we'll have to be looked at again now and get looking at the video and pick out some of the mistakes and what we can improve on.
Yeah, well, listen, as you said, David Boyle was brilliant from freeze, and Sean Ward as well, really holding their nerve. And I suppose going into out of time when we had 3 points down, what was your feeling at that point? Did you think, this, if we can get the next point, we still have a chance? Because the lads seriously dug deep, because at that point it was Antrim's game to lose.
Yeah, listen, I knew by the lads, I know the group of lads they are, and we've been giving out to them a lot about trying to get them talking more and communicating. They're a naturally quiet bunch of lads, you know, and they're very humble, but I do feel that they're a determined bunch, and they're willing to drive it on. And I think today they showed that they are willing to dig the heels in and stick at it, you know. And thankfully they kept coming back to the well today. They just continue to come back time after time, and you know, we're over the line.
And I have to ask, we stayed for commentary for the penalties. Were penalties practiced in training? Were the lads ready for this? Because there were 5 unbelievable penalties, and of course a brilliant save from Aaron Cullen in their third penalty, which got us into the platform. They actually won the match and won the penalty shootout, but they were expertly kicked. Were you passing on any advice?
No, there's no point saying otherwise. We didn't. It wasn't something we had looked at. But I think maybe there was, we were looking for the lads that played a bit of soccer over the years, and see, good, they slot the ball home. And in fairness, the 5 boys, is not an easy thing to put your hand up to take a penalty, because when everyone's eyes is on you, and it's just pressure. And I mean, you know, if they had to miss one, hypothetically speaking, you know, and the guilt they might feel. So all that was going on, but the boys stepped up. They slotted home so coolly, and fair play to them for doing it.
Yeah, and imagine, I'm rolling on now, Derry, you know, one of the best arguably squads in the country at this age. But I mean, you know, fantastic test for us, you know. I mean, we've seen Tyrone go out tonight, doing unfancy down. I mean, Antrim come down here, we were favourites for this. This was a nip and tuck game, so there's not going to be anything in it that we can't go ahead and put Derry at the championship as well.
Ah, yeah, listen, we'll regroup. We'll see what bodies we have available, and we'll just drive on from Monday night on again. Saturday, Monday, and we'll do our damnedest. We'll get the game plan fine tuned. We'll get the bodies on the field, and we'll drive at it again. And listen, these boys aren't going to let us down, and that's what it's all about. And I suppose developing them with this mentality with them for future for Donegal football.
Donegal under 20 manager Leo McClune there speaking to Brendan Devaney. Well, Derry eased into the semi-finals and will meet Donegal next. The Oakleigh County, which has a side full of All-Ireland minor winning players, were comfortable 3-12 to 8-point winners over Fermanagh. Rory Forbes, Lachlan Murray and Matthew Downey scored the Derry goals. Manager Martin Boyle spoke with Michael McMullen after the game.
Listen, the first thing we do is, I know this group won the All-Ireland, and I know we've a good panel, but the first thing we do is you respect the opponent and you do your homework. And like, I'm very lucky with the management team I have. Like, Darren McShane seen Fermanagh 4 times this year in the flesh, and you know,
what the information Darren takes back is absolutely invaluable to the decisions that you make and the matchups that you go with. There was nothing Fermanagh did tonight that surprised us, that we weren't expecting, and that's down to, you know, obviously Darren seeing them. Then you've whenever Pickles gets the video and he dissects it, you know what I mean. So really lucky when you're working with men like that. There, the level of ability and professionalism they bring to a setup that leaves us really, really well prepared. And you know, we were in a good place this past 24 hours, 48 hours, because you know the work was done at that stage, and we just knew, you know, you had to trust the players at this stage to go out and attack the game.
Fermanagh had their spell. You get two quick scores, Charlie Damon's the second one, and then you get the second goal, it puts you in some position by half time.
Yeah, the second goal was a crucial goal, because Fermanagh had a spell of, you know, 10-15 minutes where they scored three unanswered points and they were causing us bits of trouble. We felt we were sitting too deep at that stage. We weren't getting out and engaging. It was so hard to get messages on to a pitch, you know what I mean? But you're right in saying that breakaway goal that Loughlin finished with such calmness really, really gives that cushion that allowed us to, you know, dictate the game from there on. And
they had a chance before, just after half time. It was across, I think, Callum was following it in, but there was a bit of a let off, and then the third goal, I think Patrick McGurk and Dan Higgins maybe involved in the move. Charlie fouled and Matthew stuck it away.
No, definitely it was emphatic. It was emphatic at that stage, and as I say, you know, we knew Fermanagh were going to come with a bounce in the second half, and it was about how we dealt with it. But listen, the roads that these boys have been down over the past two, three years, and the big games they played in, and the way they've managed them, you know what I mean. You don't have any doubt about their ability to manage a game, and to suffer at times and to come out the other side of it.
I suppose the other result is Tyrone are gone. As we speak, Donegal and Antrim are away to extra time.
Yeah.
And Derry plays the winners of Donegal and Antrim, I believe. So
aye, that's right.
You don't know who you face at this stage.
No, listen, there was only one thing in our head, and that was Fermanagh. You know what I mean? As I said, you respect your opponent, and that was the only thing we were thinking of. You know what I mean? And, you know, probably whenever the team was named, I don't know, maybe Derry folk might have looked at the team and they might have thought, God. Like, we had three of last year's minors starting in our six defenders, and then as it turns out, we lost Bongo just before the warm up, and Ben O'Connor went into nets. And
so that's how late he got the news.
Yeah. And so that was four of last year's minors who are 2 years young to go in and play and stand out at that level. You know, we don't have a doubt in that, boys, and we said to the rest of the boys when they were added to the panel at the very start, like, we trust these boys implicitly, and we trust the boys from last year's minor so much that they're ready to play at this level. So, you know, particularly delighted for them men that you know, they've arrived as far as we're concerned. You know, and a lot of the names aren't household names as such, but they soon will be.
So Derry off to a good start in the under-20s. Not a good start for the under-20s of Tyrone. Their championship already at an end. The defending All-Ireland and provincial winners from last year are out of championship football as they lost to Down 2-9-1-8. Down will now play Monaghan in next month's semi-final. Speaking afterwards, Tyrone manager Paul Devlin says that too many mistakes in the first half cost them.
Looked at the homework done, so they had surely goal, and I'd say the matters head on. Looked at everything which I expected that from them. But again, we look back in the game ourselves, you know what I mean? Ourselves, you know, we made a lot of mistakes. A lot of basic errors, you know what I mean? Kicking the ball away, running into trouble with the ball, and if we give Down credit, they punished that, so that, you know. And, you know, I say that's what championship football is all about. You can't make them errors. Yes, they can happen back and forward once in a while, but not consistently. And look, as I always said, when these things happen, I take responsibility for it, you know what I mean? It's me that has the final call and everything, so I have, but just it's what the lads learn from it. That's the main thing. They can learn from defeats, I guess. That's very, very important, you know.
Well, that's the bigger picture that you always see. You see this as a development step for players, and it's an essential experience for them as they work their way through towards senior.
Yep, surely to go. But at the same time, you know, you don't like losing. You know, you don't like losing in your own home patch, so you don't. And I say, if you give Down credit tonight, they're down the road, and they have the results, so they have. And that's the basic thing we told the lads there. You don't want many days like this, but you'll find the defeat comes more often than wins. They're doing big games, and I say you embrace it and you get the opportunity and you push on with it, you know.
Sorry, there was pressure on the players that went out there as All-Ireland champions, you know, and they're young fellas, and it's difficult for young fellas to carry that sort of pressure, especially when so many of them were there last year.
There was that at the same time. I think with five boys that started there, you know, who were involved last year. And then with a few, you know, all along there, a few lads' injuries that make no excuses, that we're just ready for going. And, you know, pressure is a word they have to learn to deal with. When you want to play with your own, that's what you have to grow up and aspire to be. And you want to be top player, you have to learn to deal with the pressure as well, too. And it's not just the first time Tyrone have lost here on All-Ireland. And All-Ireland champions, even seniors a few years back here lost their All-Ireland champions. So it's how you deal with how the lads push on. And, like, you know, technically young lads, they move on pretty quick, so they do.
Obviously, Tyrone have performed fantastically well at underage level in the last few years, minor, under 20, even recent wins at schools level.
Yep.
You think it's hard for young lads to maybe get out of their head that we're brilliant, we can go
you're up there to be tucked down and to say, you know, that's football. You know, there's any divine right to push you on to win any game. You have to work hard when you do. And we're asking a lot from the lads, tapping around different teams, and we're ready to go in and go at it. You know, it's really only this last, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks that we've really had everybody available to us. And, you know, we just have to make the best of it and see if it works out.
But that was obviously one of the problems, Paul, that your preparation just wasn't what you would like it. You know, you like to have a running of a couple of months with your squad together. You didn't have that, and that was a major problem.
Well, we had that with Shirley Gore, is how you deal with it. And you can't take away from the lads, they can, the opportunities to push on to the schools, and that's very important to them too. But say, like, you know, there's no point having a pile of lads in there who, you know, it's not going to be playing at that level, and you just have to deal with these things how you walk them out in front of you. And the last few years, that's how we've been dealing with it. The rest of the year, we're, I say, we're more set than any year we were with lads being away. But look, that's no excuses. Down have got the result tonight and the push on.
As Tyrone manager Paul Devlin disappointed after bowing out of the under 20 football championship. There is also a big minor league game coming up this weekend involving two Northwest counties. It's the Jim McGuigan Cup final. Derry playing host to Donegal Saturday afternoon in Mahara. 12:30 is the start time there, as Donegal and Derry look to go and take a league title ahead of their championship campaign. Well, there's also a full programme of club action here in the Northwest, because the Donegal All County Leagues are getting up and running across all divisions, and there's matches taking place on Saturday and Sunday as club football gets going once again, coming off the back of a number of rounds of the Gaeltacht Championship. And on Sunday, our feature match on the Gaelic Games front is the National Hurling League Division 2B final. Donegal are playing Meath. Mickey McCann's Chargers head to Park Sean McDermidge in Carrigan Shannon as they look to cause another upset following on from that brilliant one against Wicklow. But they're going to get another game now before the Nicky Rackard Cup. The championship gets underway for Donegal, and what a boost that would be if they can upset Meath and take the Division 2 League title and gain promotion as well to Division 2A. Full match commentary here on Highland on Saturday. I'll be joined by St Eunice man Eugene Organ in the commentary position. Time for another commercial break. It's a score on a Thursday night. We've got rugby after these.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, in the final segment of the score tonight, we're looking at rugby, and Letterkenny are facing into a huge number of weeks as the clubs chase promotion in the league and also look to successfully defend the Gordon West Cup. In 3 weeks' time, they will play Donaghadee in a promotion playoff, but before that, 2-1s in the Gordon West competition would see the side retain the cup they won at Ravenhill last year. On Saturday, they host Cavan in the semi-final, with the winner to go to the final on Easter Tuesday against Monaghan or Belfast High School former pupils. With the lack of games in recent weeks, Letterkenny head coach Paul O'Kane feels it might take the team some time to settle into the game on Saturday.
Preparations, I wouldn't say, have been ideal, Oisin. We didn't expect this length of time in regards to breaking games. But it's the way the season has been set out by Ulster, so we're just going to have to basically deal with it. Unfortunately, Hollywood couldn't field in the quarterfinal stages, so it's been a really elongated break. We've kept training alive, obviously, but lack of contact and probably, I suppose, to a degree, a lack of numbers at times. We, if there's no games, you can talk to your blue in the face, we lads, but they disappear to a degree. So, this weekend is a bit of a point of contact for us. We're going to make mistakes, but we're hopefully, we're hoping we can deliver a performance that'll hopefully lead us into a final again, is the aim.
And obviously you know Cavan pretty well. You beat them twice this year already, Paul.
Beat them twice this year, but both games were really competitive. They're one of the better sides within the league. They're really physical. They're abrasive. They have a very good back row, decent 9 and 10, and they'll make it difficult. Like the reality of it is, yes, we're the favourites, but it's their cup final. They're going to empty the tank. It's probably their last game of the season if they don't want it. So we know they're going to come and really put it up to us. We've already spoke with the boys this week. We're delighted that we have, for all intents and purposes, a full deck of cards to work with. But we're not going to underestimate the challenge that Cavan will present. As I say, with 10 minutes to go when we were down in Cavan, there was a couple of points in the game, and probably to a degree, luckily, we pulled away. So we're more than aware of what Cavan can bring and what Cavan can do to upset our rhythm and how we play the game. So it's a nice challenge for us, to be honest.
Compare the squad to when you lifted the Gordon West Cup last year, something that the club was trying to do for a very long time and couldn't manage it, so they couldn't. But you crossed that bridge last year by winning the actual Gordon West at Ravenhill in Belfast. Has your squad changed much from then to now, Paul?
I think the squad profile has changed a fair bit, to be honest. Age-wise, it's much younger. We've brought in some talent from the local area. We brought in also a bit of experience and Adam Bratton, who's now a player coach with us as well, who would have captained Rainey. He's actually just been selected for the junior Ulster squad. So I'm pretty sure it's been quite a while since Letterkenny had a representative on the junior Ulster squad. So in tandem with the talent that we had the year before, we did lose a few games, but there's been a healthy bit of recruitment, the Ralph Maliffs and the Callum O'Hagans who've come in from City of Derry, in tandem with the local talent. There's a nice dynamic. I've always been perfectly honest, I would probably say we've a more talented group than the year before, and probably a more polished group. So we've missed hugely Keenan Barrett this year, who went away to the army, but Jack Spear has stepped into that void, and has created an opportunity for other people. But we'll have a really strong squad out on Saturday. If we can stay fit and healthy until the end of the year, hopefully good things can happen. We said to the guys at the start of the year, we wanted to be in and alive at the end of the season. And with a couple of weeks of the season to go, realistically, we've an opportunity to win another cup, and also promotion.
And these games are going to come thick and fast. If you do one on Saturday, Easter Tuesday is the final pencil then for, is that right, Paul?
Easter Tuesday's the final. It's been a strange dynamic. It went from being pretty full on and weekend and relentless through the league period to a real down period. And now it's going to be all guns blazing again. So we go from a semi-final this weekend to a potential final on the 11th, and then we go into a promotion playoff on the 22nd of April. So the big games are going to come thick and fast, and hopefully this Saturday is the start of it. As I've said to the boys, these opportunities don't come around that many times in your lifetime, and they need to grab every opportunity they can to represent the club and their families at Ravenhill. Is a fantastic experience. So we have another opportunity this Saturday. Let's hope we can take that.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Paul, many thanks for joining us, and we wish you and the team the very best this weekend in that Gordon West semi-final.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
There you go, Letterkenny head coach Paul O'Kane. And that is it from The Score for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of it, all the bits and bobs are available in the sports section of our website, HeinenRadio.com. Chris Ashmore is our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news from me, Oisin Kelly. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.